Well, good morning, Lifeway. Good morning, Lifeway Live. It's good to see y'all today. Good to be here. What another wonderful day and the opportunity that we have to praise the Lord, to sing of His goodness, just like we did, and to hear from His Word. This is an awesome time because this is one of the times that we take and we get to look at what God's Word says, and the reason that we are here is for whatever God's Word says, for us to apply it to our life, and for us to do that thing which God is asking us to do. Correct? Because let me ask you something. If you're not here to do that, let me just tell you, you could be doing something else with your time. Because there's a lot of other things that you could be doing, right? Anybody like fishing? Any fishers? Okay, a few fishers. What about golf? I know I like golf, okay? I would rather be out golfing if that's not what I am here to do. But I am here to do that. I am here to listen to God's Word. Of course, I am proclaiming God's Word. And so we have this incredible opportunity in front of us to hear God's Word and obey what it says. And I thank God for this opportunity to proclaim these things to you. Now, today we finish this series, we wrap up our series, The Unsaved Christian. We talked about how that sounds like an oxymoron, it doesn't make sense, but what we're talking about is the cultural Christian, someone who thinks they have a relationship with Jesus Christ because maybe they went to church as a kid, because they attend sometimes as an adult, whatever the case may be, they think that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but in reality, there is no relationship. In reality, they do not know Jesus Christ. And so what this series hopefully has kind of challenged a few of us to do, or maybe all of us, hopefully, is to assess our relationship with Jesus Christ. And not to sit there and question it as in, you know, to bring up a bunch of questions and doubts and stuff like that, but to really question, do I have that real relationship with Jesus Christ? And because that's an important question to answer, isn't it? Because according to Matthew chapter 7, when we ask this question, we try to see if if we have that real relationship with Jesus Christ, or am I just living life as a cultural Christian? And the reason this is so vitally important to ask and to answer is because you do have Jesus saying to those who say, hey, we have preached in your name, we've taught, you know, Sunday school or the youth in your name, we've been baptized, we have given, we have been charitable in your name. And then he tells this to them. He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. That's a reality. And so the reason it's important for us to answer this question, whether I'm a cultural Christian or if I have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, is because He could say those words to you. So it's extremely important that you know. You know without a shadow of a doubt that you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And because of that, you will have a relationship. You have a relationship and you will have eternal life with Jesus. If you have the goal of being in heaven with Christ, don't you think it's important to know for certain that you will be greeted with the other response, well done, my good and faithful servant? That's why we are looking at this today, and that's why we looked at this for the past three Sundays. It's important to know and to answer that question. Now, once you know for certain that you are not a cultural Christian, but have that real relationship with Christ, once you know that my relationship with Jesus Christ is real, and based upon my relationship with Jesus Christ, I will have eternal life, and I will dwell with Him forever and ever. Once you know that, what is your responsibility? How should you reach out to the cultural Christians that you know, to your friends, to your family, and to your coworkers? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. How can I reach out to those other cultural Christians? The ones who are going through the motions, that don't have that real relationship with Jesus Christ. They look good, they have all the other things going for them, but they don't have that real relationship. How can I reach out to them? And that's what we're going to discuss this morning as we close out this series. Well, let's start with our first scripture, and that is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. If you were in any type of thing growing up, whether it be like Awana's or some other type of Bible club where you did a lot of memorization, this is one of the scriptures that you memorized, I'm certain of it, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, because it talks about God's word. And this is what it says. It says this: all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Complete, equipped for every good work. That's what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17 declares to us, that the scripture, that God's word is breathed out by God, that God inspired these men to write it. And so what we need to do to help reach these cultural Christians is to establish that God's word is true. To establish that God's word is true. You see, a cultural Christian, they have some respect for God's word. They may not believe it in its entirety, but they have some respect for God's word. And so our job is to establish that as true. Because once we establish God's word as true, then we can start building and making the case for the reason they need to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to kind of just give you some interesting things about God's word. Did you know that it was written by approximately 35 authors, 35 men? And that took place over a span of about 1,500 years. Okay, so just think about how the Bible was compiled. Approximately 35 authors over a span of 1,500 years. That means some of these authors lived, they were contemporary of each other, they lived in the same period, but then others lived nowhere near that same period. And so over 1,500 years, the Bible was written, and it was recorded for us, and it was all, according to the scripture, breathed out by God. So what does that mean? It means God had his divine hand in how the Bible was compiled and put together and what these men wrote. Because what we see in God's word is we see the characteristics of the people who wrote it. Just think about the Gospels. And as they're writing those things, and as the authors describe how foolish the disciples, some of their decisions were. Guess what? That was left in there because it was human authorship, but it was inspired by God to show us that even these guys who were around Jesus Christ weren't perfect. They had struggles. They had things that they failed at as well. And so these authors, they compiled the Bible and they agree with each other. They didn't have a DeLorean to go back into time to talk to the other guy and say, hey, just so you know, I'm going to write this, okay? So we got to get our story straight. That didn't happen. And so over 1,500 years, you're telling me that these guys, most of them did not talk to each other and their stories lined up completely and totally perfect? That's because God breathed it out. And so we need to understand, and we need to help the cultural Christian understand that God's word is true. You see, God's word, the Bible, is God's redemptive story of mankind, of how he created us perfect in Adam and Eve. And just think, Adam and Eve back in that time on Sunday mornings, they didn't have to get up and wonder what they're going to wear. Did you know that? Okay, I know that's weird to think about, but they didn't have to get up and worry about what they're going to wear because they were perfect. There was nothing wrong. That's how they were created, and they walked with God. But then sin entered the picture. And this didn't send God scrambling. In fact, the Bible tells us that before creation, before the beginning of time, God had this redemptive plan already put into the works. He already knew what was going to happen. And so sin happened, and then you have the rest of the Old Testament is how God has this, he invests in people. He has this relationship with people, and specifically the people of Israel. But then you have Israel, how they rebelled against God, how they would not obey God, how they turned their back on God. And then at towards the end of the Old Testament, you have 400 years of silence, where there was not a prophet to declare something from God to the people of Israel. 400 years of silence. But then comes John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is there to prepare the way for Jesus. And he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then Jesus is on the scene, born of a virgin, lives that perfect life, dies on the cross. And 3 days later, he was buried in the grave. He was buried in the grave, and 3 days later, he rose. Let me get the story right? He rose, and he's alive forevermore. That's the story of the Bible, his redemptive plan for mankind. And each book points to the central figure of the whole Bible, and that is Jesus Christ. And so the Bible points us to that relationship with Jesus. That's why it's so important for us who have that relationship with Jesus Christ to point the cultural Christian to the Bible, because it establishes that his word is true. And it also does something else. It declares some things about us, God's word does. And so when you establish that God's word is true, then you could see how it declares some things about us, and that helps us see our problem, our sin problem. Let's look at Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 says this, as it is written, and this is Paul speaking, and he's quoting from Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. It says, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And if you skip down in that chapter and you look at Romans 3, verse 23, does anybody know what that verse says? If you do, say it out loud. That's right. For all have sinned. It declares that none is righteous, no, not one. That everyone stands condemned as a sinner before Jesus Christ. You see, what the Bible wants you to establish that God's word is true, what it does is it declares something about each and every one of us, and that is that we need Jesus. And without him, there is no hope. Because what this verse is saying to us, Romans 3, 10 through 12, and also Romans 3, verse 23, is that we are sinners. You see, it declares that no matter how good you think you are, that will not bring you to a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, if you do anything, if you approach Jesus in any way on your own righteousness, you cannot and will not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not approaching him based upon your own righteousness. Paul declares in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, he says it this way, we were once enemies of God. That's what he's talking as he's talking to these people of Rome. He's writing to them. He says, we were all once enemies of God. Now, is that a title that you want to claim as an enemy of God? Is that one that you would want to hang on to? No, that's scary, isn't it? An enemy of God, that is not good. That is not something I want to be labeled as. But here's my point in saying this is this. This is what the Bible declares about sinners. Those who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ is that they are an enemy of God. It's very clear that without a relationship with Christ, we cannot be in heaven. We will not have eternal life. And we will not be saved from the wrath of God. Let me give you some things that will not help you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Baptism, we're going to have one in second service. Baptism will not help you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not the beginning of one. Church membership won't help. Praying won't help. Being charitable won't help. Teaching youth won't help. And even being a pastor won't help. The only way a person changes from being an enemy of God to a friend of God is through faith in Jesus Christ and accepting his sacrifice on the cross for your sins. That is the only way. The only way. You see, when the Bible declares that you're an enemy of God, you can't just simply be good enough to change teams and become a friend of God. Because when it says that we're an enemy of God, and when it says none is righteous, no, not one, and that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, it identifies us that we are sinners and that we are enemies of God, that we are separated from this perfect and this holy God. And the reason it does that is because it puts us at this point where we have to realize, I have nothing that I'm bringing to the table. Zilch. I am worthless. The only way that I am made worthy and worthy of Him is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, He was the perfect sacrifice. Because He had no sin. And so when He took our place on that cross, it satisfied God. It satisfied the wrath of God. You see, if I were to try to put myself on that cross to pay for my sins, God would not be satisfied. Because just like you are, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. That's what God's word declares about me, that I'm an enemy of God. So if I try to put myself up there to pay for my sins, it will not work. The only way this happens, that relationship with Jesus Christ, is through faith and accepting that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place for your sins. If you add anything to this, you are still an enemy of God. So let's kind of cover a few things that you'll hear some cultural Christians say. Because if we want to reach these cultural Christians, you're going to have some conversations with them at some point. It may be over lunch one day. It may be when you're sitting out the boat in the boat fishing one day, or golfing, or working on a project together, and you get to talking about some of these spiritual things, and they're going to have some things that they say, such as, well, I've always been a Christian. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard someone express that? Well, I've always been a Christian. Well, hold on. Is that what the Bible declares? Can you be a Christian from birth? Because that doesn't match up and line up with what God's word says. It's a nice idea. But according to God's word, we were all once enemies of God. So how can you be an enemy of God and Christ-like? That doesn't match up. So, okay, that argument goes by the wayside. That you might also hear someone say, well, my family's a Christian. I was raised in a Christian home. And that's great, because a Christian upbringing is great. But does that give you a relationship with Jesus Christ? No, it will not. It can provide you the opportunity to hear about Jesus, to understand that you are a sinner and that you need to repent of that sins and get right with God. But if you are basing your salvation off of just being raised in a Christian home, then you are still an enemy of God. You see, here's the way we need to express this to the cultural Christian, is this real quick and easy equation. Jesus plus nothing equals eternal life. If the answer is not Jesus, in that who have you placed your faith in, if it's Jesus and whatever you want to add to it, baptism, good works, being charitable, being here on Sundays, whatever you want to add to that, if it's Jesus plus something else, then it's not eternal life. If you want eternal life and you want that cultural Christian, as we explain that to them, it's Jesus plus nothing that we bring equals eternal life. And this is what the cultural Christian needs to understand. It may be something that you are sitting here today and that you need to know. That you have had those same expressions that, well, I've always been a Christian. Or, you know, I am a good person. Well, I'm glad that you think that you've always been a Christian. I'm glad that you probably are a good person. But let me tell you, according to God's word, you're an enemy of God. Unless you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Because once you place your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, all of a sudden, you're not an enemy of God. You are a friend of God. And so therefore, now you don't have to worry about the wrath of God any longer. No, you get to start getting busy serving Him. when you are a friend of God. So you help the cultural Christian identify their need for Christ. And then lastly, we're going to talk about at that point, as you establish God's word as true and as you help them identify their need for Christ, at that point, we pray they yield to the Holy Spirit. We pray that they yield to the Holy Spirit. Let's look at John chapter 16, verses 7 through 8. It says this. This is Jesus speaking. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Did Jesus ever tell us a lie? A falsehood? No. "I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." He's talking to his disciples and he's explaining that he's going to leave. And of course, you remember the disciples' response each and every time he said that stop stuff. They're like, "Oh, come on, please. Stop playing with us." But he says, "I'm going to go away, but it's to your advantage. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." Our responsibility as people who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have that relationship, as we work on these cultural Christians and we establish that God's word is true and as we help them identify their need for Christ, at that point, it's all God's. And let me just say something right quick. Even before that point, it's all God's. Because God is the one that does the convicting. God is the one who, you know, the Holy Spirit bears witness about him to our spirit. And so God is the one who does all this, but he does ask us to be a part of some of this. But once we have presented the gospel to them and shown them clearly through Scripture their need for Jesus Christ, what we need to do is step back and pray that they will yield to the Holy Spirit. Because as it says there in verse 8, about the Helper, that he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. You see, the reason that so many continue to be cultural Christians instead of having that real relationship with Christ is they have ignored the Holy Spirit's convictions and have chosen to believe that they are self-sufficient. What a terrible place to be. To know what God's word says, to feel his conviction, and to say, "I'm good. I've got this on my own." Let me tell you something, if that's ever been your response, you do not have this on your own. There's no way that you could have this on your own, because remember that scripture? It says, "None is righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What does the Bible declare? It declares that you need to surrender to those convictions. It's what we pray that will happen to those that we reach out, to those that we have that uncomfortable conversation. But you know what? That uncomfortable conversation needs to happen, because we're talking about their eternal destination. Isn't it worth losing a friend if maybe you point them to Christ? I'm just saying, maybe you rock the boat for a little bit. But if you really love and care about that person enough, that conversation is worth happening, is worth having. There's different ways that it can happen. You don't have to go in guns ablaze and be like, "You're a sinner. You're going to go to hell." Okay? You can approach it in that loving, gentle manner the way Christ does. But it's worth having that conversation. And then praying that they will yield to the Holy Spirit. Pray that they will say, "God, I know what your word says, and I believe it. I know that I have sinned against you. And I know that there is no way, no how that I am good enough that I could do the things that you're asking me to be. There's no righteousness that I bring to the table. I'm going to trust in you and in you alone." You see, when the cultural Christian decides to ignore that conviction, what they do is they choose to believe a lie rather than the truth. You see, God gives us free will to choose a relationship with him And we are drawn by the Holy Spirit. That's the conviction of our sins. We are drawn by the Holy Spirit. And once convicted of our sins, we have two choices. We have two choices. To repent or to ignore the conviction. As you talk to that cultural Christian about their need for Jesus Christ, they are faced with the same two choices that you and I have. And that is to repent of their sins. And remember what repent means is once they finally face the truth, they know that they need Jesus, they're walking this way in their life, and they change directions and they agree with what God's word says about them. They turn to Jesus and they begin that relationship with Him. That's what repentance looks like. What does it look like when someone ignores? Is they hear the conviction, they hear God's truth, they hear that they need Jesus, and they just keep on plunging this way. And we know that that is going to bring no hope to their life. You see, we pray that they will yield to the Spirit. Why? Because we exist to make heaven more crowded, do we not? We want our friends, our family, our co-workers to be there in heaven with us. And if you don't want your friends and your families and your co-workers to be in heaven with you, you need to check your heart. You need to check your heart. The cultural Christian has those two responses, to repent or to ignore the conviction. So when a cultural Christian is taught God's word, and they know that they need Christ Jesus, the only thing that we can do after that is pray that they will yield to the Holy Spirit. Now, we can continue to have those conversations with them. We can continue to point them to Christ, and that's good. You should. It's not like you present Jesus Christ and you go, okay, I will never say anything else about it. No, you can continue to talk to them about Jesus Christ. You know, let's answer a couple questions. How can we get them to understand that God's word is true? Like, how do we go about that? Well, a great thing that you can do is you can be involved in a small group and you can invite them to your small group. And in that small group, you're going to be going through and you're going to be reading Scripture together. And they're going to be sitting there beside you or beside another person, and they're going to listen to what Scripture says. And in that small group, you will conversate and you will talk about what Jesus Christ, what this verse means, how it points to Jesus Christ. And you will talk about the truth. That's a great way to establish God's word is true. But you know what? You don't have to just invite them to a small group. You can decide on a one-on-one basis to study God's word with them. Say, hey, you have some questions about God's word. I have questions about God's word too. So let's do this. Let's sit down and together let's read it together. And so that's an awesome way to help them establish that God's word is true. And then what you do then is, as you're in God's word and as they start discovering for themselves that God's word is true, hopefully what they will see is their need for Jesus Christ. And a great tool that Jesus, that he gives to us is our each and every person's, your testimony. You have your testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And that's something that you can share. What a beautiful story of how God took an enemy of God, a sinner, and made you a friend of God. Bought you back from your sin and gave you that relationship with Jesus Christ. You have your testimony that you can help them see that they need to understand to identify that their need for Christ. And every single day, let's hit our knees praying. Maybe you don't hit your knees because you're driving. That's your prayer time. You're in the car. You're commuting or whatever. And it's your time to pray for those that you know need Jesus Christ. Do that each and every day. Pray that they will yield to the Holy Spirit's conviction. So have those conversations. Talk about God's word. You know, in our culture, it has kind of become a thing that we cannot do in a public setting, and that is talk about God's word. It's like I really don't want to bring it up because it's uncomfortable. It brings up some uncomfortable things. They may ask me another question about some other portion of the Bible that I'm not prepared to answer. But let me ask you this. In the first century, these first century Christians, what did they love to talk about? Jesus. They loved to talk about God's word. They would use the Old Testament to point people to Jesus. They would use, you know, the stories and the witnesses who saw the resurrection. They would use those to point people to Jesus. They loved talking about God's word and the gospel. Maybe there wouldn't be so many cultural Christians if those of us who have a relationship with Jesus Christ would actually loosen our tongues and start talking about what God wants us to talk about. The important things, the eternal things. So have those conversations, even if they're uncomfortable. Talk about God's word. Be bold about everyone's need for Christ. Like, it is okay to tell people, hey, you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is okay to say. Be bold about that. And pray. Pray that they will yield to the Holy Spirit's convictions. Is it important to reach these unsaved Christians, these cultural Christians? Yes. Is it difficult? Yes, it is. But with God, all things are possible. So let's be faithful to Him. We have that real relationship with Jesus Christ. We are a friend of God, and that means that He's got some stuff for us to do. And what He wants us to do is reach out to this world, reach out to those who have been deceived by Satan, who think they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but have never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and establish God's word as true. Help them to identify their need for Christ, and then you pray, and pray some more. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for this day. We thank You for the fact that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, for the sins of the whole world. Each and every person here has had that moment where they have they've thought of themselves as good I'm a pretty decent person. I don't do that. And you know, compared to this person over here, I'm definitely good. But what your word says about each and every one of us is that we are not good, that we are in desperate need of You. Please help us to all understand that and to believe that. Please help us to share that message with our friends, our family, our coworkers, who think they are good with You because of their own righteousness. Please help us to share the fact that there's none righteous, no, not one, except one name, and that is Jesus Christ. And because what He did on the cross for us, taking our place, the only response that we have to You and to the offer of Your Son is to believe and place our faith in Jesus and say, God, I have done nothing good. I want to be holy as You are holy, but I can only do that through Your Son, Jesus Christ. So I just pray and ask You to help us to place our faith in Him. Help the ones who are not saved to do that. For us that who are, that we celebrate our faith in Him each and every day by being obedient to Your word. And I pray that we won't be cultural Christians, that we won't just look the part, but that we will live like You, truly live like You. and that we will see those who do not have a relationship with you begin that relationship with you, so that your kingdom in heaven will be more crowded. So there will be less and less people who hear those fearful words, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." So I just ask that you please help us to take this series of sermons, that we will reflect on these things to make sure that we are not just the cultural Christian, and that if we do have that real relationship with Jesus Christ, that we will have a heart for these people who have been deceived, and that we will help in any way that we can. And then we will pray that they yield to your Spirit's conviction. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would please join us in standing as we